Now, if you know me at all, you know that I like Westerns. I enjoy Westerns, a good Western movie, a good Western TV show. And if you've watched many Westerns, in many of these TV shows or movies, there's a climactic moment in the storyline where there's a fort, F-O-R-T, a fort. And inside that fort are normally some soldiers and some settlers, okay? And on the outside, and I have nothing against Indians, okay? But on the outside, you got a bunch of Indians that are attacking the fort. And if you watch this movie or this TV show and you've seen this setting before, normally what happens inside that fort, things are starting to look pretty bad. First of all, those inside the fort are outnumbered by those outside the fort. And also on the inside, normally supplies are getting kind of low. And even more important than food supplies and things like that, at this specific point, even their number of bullets is way down. So things are looking really, really bad for those inside the fort. Now, anyone here ever seen a Western in any way that had that portrayed? Okay, all right. But then, at exactly the right moment, you hear something like dun 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 dun, or some cavalry bugle blow, and then here comes the cavalry, right? And they shoot a little bit, and all of a sudden the Indians retreat, and the people inside the fort are saved. And that's like happy ending to the movie, right? You know, in a lot of ways, that's the way we were before Jesus saved us. You know, we were running low on supplies. We were in a whole lot of danger. Things weren't looking well at all. But then Jesus came and rescued us from our sin. You might say He saved us. If you're here today, I hope that you appreciate through the message how much Jesus has done for you. I hope you leave here saying, you know what? I am just so grateful that I am saved. But if you're here today and you say, you know what? I'm not sure I'm saved. Or you might say, I know I'm not saved. Do you know what I wish for you? I wish that you nail it down today. That you become a saved child of God. I found out this week that God was speaking to my heart, saying, you know what, I want you to preach what I call a pure salvation message this morning. And again, if you're a Christian, are you really as appreciative of what God has done for you and the salvation that He has provided as you should be? If not, listen up. And if you're here today and you'd say, you know what, I really don't know that I'm saved, would you please listen up, because I got the best news you could ever hear this morning. Now we're going to be looking at, I've entitled the message simply, Salvation. Salvation. And the Bible has several passages that make it very clear. I counted at least 9 passages in this Bible, which is God's holy, inerrant, inspired Word, the only book that we have to give us guidance and direction in life. I found at least 9 times in this Bible, God's Word, that it says, Jesus came in order to save us. And I'm thankful for that. The word that is used, now you're going to be impressed. Are you ready to be impressed? Sozo. Are you impressed? That's the Greek word. Sozo. And of course it means to be saved, but if you dig a little bit deeper, I looked at another Greek lexicon, Thayer's, and it says, to save one from injury or peril, or to save a suffering one from perishing, or to preserve one who is in danger of destruction. And you know, that's exactly what Jesus did for us, right? He saved us from injury and peril. He has saved a suffering one from perishing. And He has saved us who were in danger of destruction in a place called hell. We're going to be looking at several verses under this topic of salvation. But point number one, some have misunderstood the reasons that Jesus came to this world. You know, Jesus, let me tell you who Jesus is for just a moment. Can I do that? In case you're here and you've not heard, Jesus was the Son of God. He is the Son of God. He will forever be the Son of God. But He is also God Himself. You know, we talk about the Trinity. We got God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Now, each one of them have a distinct role, but they're all God. But when Jesus chose to come to this earth and put on flesh, He was 100% God, and He was 100% man. And you say, I don't get that. That's 200%. Well, I don't really get it either, but I tell you, it's true. He was fully God, and He was fully man. Now, this Jesus that we're talking about was born in Bethlehem. He was born of a virgin named Mary. This Jesus lived a perfect life. He lived some 33 years. The last 3 years of His ministry is mainly what's recorded in the Gospels. But He lived a perfect life, but yet He was crucified upon a cross. Not because of anything that He had done, because He had done nothing wrong. But when He died upon that cross as a perfect Son of God, as the perfect Son of God, guess whose sin He paid for? He paid for your sin and He paid for my sin. And that was the worst death ever experienced by anybody. You say, but preacher, other people were crucified. But you know what? They weren't crucified with all that guilt and shame of the sins of the whole world. And actually, it was so bad that God the Father, it says, had to look away from His Son. And Jesus said, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me? At that moment, that darkest moment of His death. But you know the good news, He was placed in a borrowed tomb and He resurrected back to life after 3 days. And you know what that showed? That showed that He conquered death. And because He conquered death, we that trust in the Lord, we that are saved, will also conquer death. Death has no effect over us. We will spend eternity in heaven with the Lord. Right now, Jesus is at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us. When we pray to God, He's carrying our prayers to the Father and interceding on our behalf. Isn't that good? But that's who Jesus is. But you see, some people misunderstand why Jesus came. In Luke chapter 9, verse 54... In Luke chapter 9 and verse 54, Jesus did not come to destroy men's lives. In Luke chapter 9, verse 54, let me read that to you. Jesus did not come to destroy men's lives. It says His disciples were wanting God to command fire to consume some people. But verse 55, it says, but He turned and rebuked them and said, ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of. Now notice this, for the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went to another village. You see, some people misunderstand why Jesus came. They say, you know what? I think that Jesus and God, they're both out to destroy my life. Can I tell you that Jesus came so that we could experience what life is really supposed to be like? It says He came to save us. Some people also think that Jesus came to condemn the world. You know, He's like this heavenly cosmic killjoy. And someday the world will be condemned. Someday men's lives will be destroyed in a place called hell. But when Jesus came, guess what? He didn't come to condemn the world. John chapter 3 and verse 17. Notice this. Right after the beloved John 3:16, He says, for God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. some misunderstood reasons that Jesus came. First of all, Jesus did not come to destroy men's lives. He came to fulfill and to give them a purpose for life. Jesus did not come to condemn the world, but he came to save the world. Thirdly, Jesus did not come to judge the world, although he will at some point judge the world. And when the tribulation period and forever in a place called hell, he will judge the world, but that's not the reason he came. John chapter 12 and verse 47. Notice what it says. John chapter 12 and verse 47. It says, "And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I come not to judge the world, but to," what is that? Say it with me. "Save the world." Some misunderstood reasons why Jesus came. Roman numeral number one. Again, God is not a cosmic killjoy, but he's a loving Savior. He is a loving Savior. Point number two, Jesus came to save you. Jesus came to save you. I don't care who you are. I don't care how old you are. I don't care what color eyes you might have. I don't care what medical ailments you may have right now. I don't care what your intelligence level is. Jesus came to save you. You know, the Bible is very clear. We're going to hit various verses as we go through this, and notice what they say. For instance, Matthew chapter 18 and verse 11. Matthew chapter 18 and verse 11. We're talking about salvation. We're under the point that Jesus came to save you. Notice this. Isn't this clear? It says, "For the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost." Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21. Notice what it says in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21. It says, even when Jesus came, and this was the angel talking to Joseph before the birth of Jesus, notice what it says, "And she shall bring forth a son," speaking of Mary, "and thou shalt call his name Jesus," which means Yahweh saves, or God saves. Notice, "for he shall save his people from their sins." The reason Jesus came to this world was to save us. I mean, my goodness. You know, Jesus could have came to this earth and said, "You know what, I'm going to build a huge kingdom. I'm just going to conquer the whole world." He could have done that because he's God and he has all power. But when Jesus came to be born as a baby in Bethlehem, placed in a manger, he came so that I could be saved and so that you could be saved. I thank the Lord for that, don't you? And we're talking about save, and we kind of get the picture, even the fort and the Calvary save. You kind of get the picture, but what did he save us from? It says there, to save his people from their sins. You see, every one of us have done something against God, haven't we? If you're a perfect person and you haven't, I want to talk to you after church and know what your secret is. Because every one of us are sinners. We do things against God. We think that mean thought. We sometimes say those harsh words, right? And there's sins of omission, things we should be doing that we're not doing. So we're just sinners. And you know what the result of sin is? It says, "For the wages of sin is death." So when he saved us from our sins, and he washes the slate clean when we are saved and trust him as Savior. Saves us from our sins, saves us from death. Because you know, a Christian, someone who is saved, never really dies. It's goodbye this world, hello heaven. And he also saves us from a place called hell, that if we don't do something with our sin, that's where we'll spend eternity. So aren't you thankful that Jesus came to save us? Salvation. Some misunderstand why Jesus came. He came to save us. Number two, Jesus came to save us. We looked at two different verses. You know, you probably heard this story, but I remember swimming as a youngin, as a kid, at a place called Kettle Bottom. And guess what? When I fell off my raft, I couldn't find the bottom. It may be called Kettle Bottom, but I couldn't find the bottom. So I was floundering, and my sister jumped in and saved me from dying. I'm thankful that she did. You may not be so sure, but I'm thankful that she did. And that's really a picture of what we were floundering. We were drowning in our sins, and Jesus came to save us. Salvation. Some misunderstand why Jesus came, but Jesus came to save. Number three, Jesus wants all people to be saved. Jesus wants all people to be saved. Notice 1 John chapter 2 and verse 2. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 2, it says, "And He is the propitiation." You say, "Preacher, that's a word that I was not sure." That means satisfaction or covering for our sins. Speaking of Jesus. But notice what it says. "And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world." You know, we believe in the unlimited atonement of Jesus. When He died upon the cross and shed His blood, guess what? His payment paid for the sins of the whole world. It's sufficient. But you know what? We have to appropriate it to our account. We have to personally be forgiven by trusting in Jesus and what He did for us. It is sufficient, but we have to have it applied to our account in salvation. You see, Jesus wants all people to be saved. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. Again, from God's Word, notice what it says. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. Says, "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior." Notice this. "Who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth." Now, what's that verse saying? You know, that tells me that God wants every one of us to be saved. You know, if one soul perishes from this world without trusting Jesus, I think it saddens the very heart of God. Because He wants everybody to be saved. Now, will everybody be saved? Absolutely not. He gives us a free will and say, am I going to trust Him as my Savior? Or I'm going to keep on doing my own thing, and I'm never going to humble myself and tell God that I believe Jesus died for me on the cross and let Him be my Savior. Now, if you don't do that, you're going to die without the Lord and suffer the consequences of that. But it encourages me to know that God wants, it says, "Who will have all men to be saved." He wants every man, woman, and child to be saved. I'm thankful for that. There's another verse we're going to look at. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 41. Notice this. It says, "Then shall He say unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire." Talking about casting them into hell. But notice who it's prepared for. Prepared for the devil and his angels. You know, if a person goes to hell without trusting Jesus as their Savior, without being saved, those are synonymous terms. Guess what? They're going into a place that God never prepared for them. It was prepared for the devil and his angels, or demons as we would call them. So, today we're talking about salvation. Some people misunderstand why Jesus came. Second, Jesus came to save you. Number three, Jesus wants all people to be saved. You know, at the fireworks outreach, I'll ask Ken and Linda in particular, were there certain people that came through the gate and they were just so mean or ugly looking that you said, "You can't have a ticket"? Nope. That's good. You did your job. In other words, it was open to everyone, right? Amen. Salvation is open to everyone. And He wants all people to be saved. We gave free food to all that came through the gate. It's the same way. God wants all to be saved. Number four, Jesus is seeking after you. Jesus is seeking after you. Notice this verse, Luke chapter 19 and verse 10. Luke chapter 19 and verse 10. Notice what it says. It says, "For the Son of Man is come." Here it is. "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." You know, also in the parable of the lost sheep, notice in Matthew chapter 18, verses 12 to 14, notice what it says. How think ye, if a man have 100 sheep and one of them be gone astray, doth he not leave the 99 and goeth into the mountains and seeketh that which is gone astray? Notice how it seeketh that which is gone astray. And if so be that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoiceth more of that sheep than of the 99 which went not astray. Even so, it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. You know, in the parable of the lost sheep, we see that the shepherd seeks that which is gone astray. We see in Luke chapter 19, we just read, that Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. You know, today if you're sitting there and you're saying, you know what, man, that preacher, I got to get out of here. It seemed like he's just going on and on. And you're sitting there and you're a little bit nervous. You're a little bit kind of like a little bit antsy. And you might even feel a tug at your heart like God is doing something with you. You know what that I think that is? That's God seeking after you. The Lord came, the Son of God, and God Himself came. It says to seek and to save that which was lost. So in our lifetime, do you know how many times God might be trying to get your attention? Trying to seek you. Trying to draw you to Himself so that you'll be saved. You know, a lot of times, I don't know about you, but I do not have every single day I wake up and everything is perfect and everything just goes wonderful and I feel good and I just sing hallelujah. The hallelujah chorus, praise God. You know, I'm just excited about everything. Not every day of my life is like that. How about you? Some of you would say, you know, I got some tough days, and I've had some tough days lately. You know what sometimes I think it is? And I'm not God. I can't say definitively, but if you're here and you're lost, and you say, you know, this has happened and that has happened and I don't understand what, it could be God kind of tapping you on the shoulder going, hey, because of the circumstances of life, sometimes He's trying to get our attention because He's seeking us in order to be saved. You know, I'm thankful that when I was 11 years old in Hopewell Baptist Church, when I heard the invitation, actually I heard it real loud and clear the Sunday before I got saved, but I was too scared. I didn't come down the aisle. And I know you don't have to come down the aisle and necessarily be saved. You can be saved at your house, but I was 11. I was young and dumb, okay? I thought you had to be in church. And believe me, that whole week I was like, Lord, please let me live so I can get back to church so I can trust Jesus. You know what? You know why I was doing that? Because Jesus was seeking after me. And Jesus, in the conviction of the Holy Spirit, was working on my heart saying, you need to be saved. You need to be saved. And He does that. And sometimes through the circumstances of life again, He's saying, you need to be saved. You need to be saved. Because He loves you and He wants to spend eternity with you. See, I'm thankful that Jesus seeks after us to be saved. You know, a lot of times I sometimes call it the death grip. When we stand a little bit later and people are, you know, standing all over the church and, you know, I'm giving the invitation saying, you know, y'all come down. If someone needs to be saved, we'll do that here in a little bit. And you have this urge just to grab that seat in front of you just like this. I'm not moving. If you feel that urge to move, guess what? It's probably Jesus seeking you to be saved. As I say that, can I tell you that at the same time the Lord Jesus is seeking you, the devil is wanting to hinder you? And the devil will plant in your brain several thoughts. This is not exhaustive, but one thought he plants in your brain is, you don't have to do it today. Maybe some other, you don't feel so good today. Maybe next week, or when things slow down a little bit, or maybe in a month. And you know what? Normally those weeks and those months that you plan on trusting Jesus at some point and being saved never come around. I guarantee you that if you could open up the portals of hell right now and talk to people that were in hell, a lot of them would tell you, you know what? I intended on trusting Jesus at some point. I intended on being saved. I just kept putting it off and putting it off and putting it off. Don't put it off. The devil might be telling you, well, first of all, you need to straighten up your life a little bit. And then come to Jesus. Can I tell you that that's backwards? You see, you come to Jesus in faith and you're saved, and then you let God work on you and change you. That's where the power comes from. We're going to sing a song in a little bit as an invitation. Just as I am. He wants you to come just as you are. You don't have to reform. You don't have to clean up to be saved. You come to Him just as you are, and then let Him clean you up with His power and with His strength. You see, it's important. It's important to understand that Jesus is seeking after you. He is seeking after you. Again, I say He's seeking after us with the conviction of the Holy Spirit. He may be speaking to your heart today, and you hear a still small voice. It's not something it's not a booming voice in the auditorium. It's more like inside you're saying, you know, I need to do something. I need to do something. It's probably the Holy Spirit convicting you. Jesus seeking after you, saying, you need to be saved. You need to be saved. You need to be saved. And those things that may be happening in your life that you don't understand, I'm not saying God causes them, but God may be allowing them so that you wake up and you say, you know what? I need to be saved. Salvation. Some misunderstand why Jesus Christ came. Jesus came to save you. Jesus wants all people to be saved. And Jesus, number four, is seeking after you. Number five, you cannot be too bad to be saved. You cannot be too bad to be saved. You know, the Bible in Romans chapter 10 and verse 13, I love this verse. If you haven't figured it out yet, I'm a pretty simple-minded kind of guy. I love simple verses, and this is a very simple verse. It says, for whosoever, whosoever, that's everybody, isn't it? For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, that is in salvation, calling out to Him to be saved. Notice what it says. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, there it is, shall be saved. Say that with me. Shall be saved. God said it in His book. So He wouldn't offer that whosoever if you could be too mean or too bad. I've known some pretty mean people, haven't you? We see from pretty mean people on television sometimes, don't we? You might say, I don't even look on television. My neighbor's one of the meanest people I know. Oh, God bless your heart. Your neighbor is not past being saved. And you may be sitting here today saying, preacher, if you only knew what I've done in my life. I don't have to know, I don't need to know what you've done in your life, because I know a God who can wipe the slate clean. I know a God that can save anybody, whosoever. John chapter 10 and verse 9, notice what it says. I am the door, Jesus says. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Did that say? If any man? Huh. That means any man, woman, child, teenager. Enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture or rest for their soul. You see, you cannot be too bad to be saved. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15. You know, this is the testimony of a guy who was pretty bad before he got saved. This is the testimony of Paul. Notice what it says. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation or acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world. Why? To save sinners. And notice what he says. Of whom I am chief. Now think about that. If you think you're too mean to be saved, just think about Paul, whose name was Saul. He was so bad, God changed his name to Paul. He was Saul, killing Christians. and going after them and getting them and throwing them in jail because they're following Jesus. I don't know, in my book, that's pretty bad. I mean, murder, persecution of Christians. But he recognized that Jesus came to save him, and he got saved. You see, you can't be too bad to be saved. You cannot be too bad to be saved. Have you ever had a dollar bill that you think it must have gone through a war? Have you? I mean, you kind of look at it, and it's like, and the edges are frayed, and maybe there's a rip in it, and you're like, my goodness. But you know what? Regardless of how beat up it is, you can still spend it, right? Maybe that's a poor analogy, but regardless of how beat up you might be, regardless of how bad you might be, you can still be saved. Talking about salvation. One more point after this. Some misunderstood the reasons that Jesus came. Second, Jesus came to save you. Number three, Jesus wants all people to be saved. Number four, Jesus is seeking after you. Number five, you cannot be too bad to be saved. And the last point, number six, how can you be saved? How can you be saved? If we understand that that's the reason Jesus came, don't you think it's pretty natural to talk about how to be saved? If he's seeking after you, don't think it's important to know how you can snuggle up close to Jesus, how you can be saved? Well, I think y'all probably know most of it, John 3:16, don't you? Would you say that with me? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. By that verse alone, you see God's love. You see that he sent Jesus to this world. And what do I have to do to be saved or have everlasting life? I've got to believe in him. Now, there's one thing you got to understand about belief. There's one thing you got to understand about the word that's even used in John 3:16. It's not a flippant like, oh, sure, I believe. I imagine, as I've said quite often, if you talk to the average person on the streets of Clarksburg, I mean, if you just talk to one right after another who may be going down the street and you say, do you believe in Jesus? Oh, yeah, I figured there was a Jesus. Uh-huh. You say, do you believe in God? Oh, I'm sure that there's some God. Yeah, mm-hmm, yeah, I believe in. That's a generic type of belief. We're talking about in John 3:16, the belief that results in commitment. This is a belief that's real. That's not a belief that says, well, it probably happened. This is a belief that says, I know it happened. This is a belief that says, I'm going to put myself in the hands of the Lord because I really believe it. Now, it really annoys me, some of these preachers on television. They'll preach a message, you know, this health and wealth, and, you know, if you serve the Lord enough, you're going to have all the money you want, and you're going to have all the health that you want, and a bunch of bunk. You talk to Paul about that, and Paul would say, this guy's crazy. I didn't have health, and I didn't have wealth, and I was sold out to the Lord. So it's no guarantee. Actually, I'm telling you, the Bible says all that will live godly shall suffer persecution. So if you're living for the Lord the way you should, you're going to have some persecution. But then after they get through preaching this false message, they stand up and say, now if you say this little prayer with me, you'll be saved. Then they talk about as fast as those people in those commercials do that have to give this little disclaimer. You know, they say, well, this is right, you know, it sounds about like that. And they get up there and say, now, if you want to pray this little prayer, you'll be saved today. Dear Jesus, save us all. Amen. And you're saved. That's not true. You can say all the words you want to say, but you got to believe it in your heart in order to be saved. I'm telling you, I've heard it said, a lot of people are going to miss heaven by 18 inches. The distance between their head and their heart. They're going to have a head knowledge that says, oh, sure, yeah, okay. But they don't have the heart knowledge. They don't have the true commitment of their heart. And as I've said, I could look at that pew all day and say, I think that pew or that seat will hold me up. That's what a lot of people are saying. Yeah, there's probably a God. Yeah, Jesus, he probably died on the cross. Yeah. But you know what? I have to have faith to put myself in that seat and plop down. To be saved, you got to plop down. You got to say, Lord, I believe it. I'm committing myself to you. I think that's part of our problem. In a lot of our churches, we got people that have a head knowledge about Jesus, but they've never been born again with their heart. We're talking about how can you be saved? Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10 makes it very clear. John 3:16 says, believe, and then Romans 10, 9 and 10 backs it up, says the same thing. Notice what it says. Listen to the words very carefully. It says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead. I love these words. Say it with me. Thou shalt be saved. There's no hope, so maybe so, I might be saved. If you trust in the Lord and you believe with your heart and you confess with your mouth and you mean it, you are saved. It doesn't say you might be saved. It says thou shalt be saved. And it says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. We've got to believe with our heart. It's got to be real to us. We got to mean our commitment. And when it says confess, confession, I believe it's talking about in prayer to the Lord. And you say, Lord, I believe Jesus died for me. I believe He was the Son of God. I believe that He died for my sins. I believe He resurrected, and I mean it right here. And then you say to the Lord, I confess, or I admit that Jesus is my Savior. He's my leader. He's my all in all. He's everything to me. And you do that in prayer to the Lord. And if you've not done that in prayer to the Lord and called upon the Lord in salvation, guess what? There's a good chance you're sitting there lost. You can't become a Christian automatically by coming to church. The Bible doesn't say when you come to church 1,000 times in your life, on the 1,000th time, you open that door and the trumpets will sound and you are saved. It does not say that. Church is a wonderful thing to do and to come to. Absolutely, you should as a true born-again child of God. But it doesn't save you. You say, well, I'm good to my neighbor. Well, great. Praise the Lord, you should be good to your neighbor. But you can be good to your neighbor all the time and still be lost and never been saved by calling out to the Lord, believing in your heart and calling out to the Lord in salvation. You could die and still miss heaven. This area of salvation is crucial. You might say, it's the doctrine we stand on. I mean, there's some other things, maybe the other doctrine, maybe you call them kind of fringe doctrines over here. Perhaps there's some of those that we say, well, we can disagree. We can't disagree on this one. This is serious. This is the difference between heaven and hell. Most churches teach, and every false religion teaches, that you're saved by works. I give my money to the church preacher. I'm good to people. I've even been baptized. Can I tell you? Those are all works. They're all good, but they're all works. The Bible says, this same book, Ephesians 2, 8, 9, for by grace, God's grace to us, are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. Notice this, not of works, lest any man should boast. So if you're trying to work your way to heaven, you're going to fail, and you're going to miss heaven. It's only by being saved, calling out to the Lord. Lord, you're my Savior. Forgive me my sins. I believe Jesus died for me as the Son of God. I believe He was born of a virgin. I believe He lived a perfect life. And when He died, He paid for my sins and resurrected back to life. I confess Jesus as my Savior. And if you mean that from your heart, you can leave this place saved. And once you're truly saved, you're sealed. It says, no man can pluck you out of my Father's hands. You're sealed. The Holy Spirit, it says, places the earnest of the Holy Spirit in our heart. We're saved, and we are saved forever. If you mean it from your heart and do it one time, you're saved. Now, it should result in some change in your life, or it's probably not real. But let me ask you. Let me ask you today. Are you 100% sure that you're saved? If your heart, which is beating something like this right now, if it would stop, are you sure that you'd go to heaven because you're saved? Because you've trusted Jesus as your Savior? You've called to Him from your heart and said, Lord, forgive me of my sins. I believe Jesus was exactly who the Bible says He was. And I confess Him. I admit Jesus is my leader, my Savior. Probably, if you're not 100% sure, probably you're here today and you're not saved. Probably. You know what I'd do? If that was me, and I'd say, preacher, I really don't know for sure that I'd go to heaven. I'm really not sure that I'm saved. You know what I'd do? We're going to sing in just a moment, just as I am. I would make a beeline to the front of the church. And I'd say, preacher, and we got some others come up here and can talk with you too. We got Ryan, we got Jason, we got Bill, we got John. Some people could talk to you. And you can leave this place and say, you know what, I'm sure. I know that I'm saved. I'd encourage you. Is God seeking you today? Are you feeling that tug in your heart? If so, what are you going to do with the Lord?